I'm Adrian Clifton, and you're listening to Ravens Weekly.
You could have been a supporter of any football team. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. You could have been following the champions of the Champions League. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. What's all this stuff you're giving us? There's just one team for me, and that's the town where I come from. In Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 45 of Ravens Weekly. Delighted to be joined by David Cook, as ever. Hello, David.
Hello, Matt. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. I should probably start by saying this week we are Jeffless.
Yes, we are, but we have now got a free run, and we can do what we want.
Well, yeah, it's true, actually. Yeah, I didn't think of it that way.
But we keep it professional.
We will do,
we will,
yes.
Keep it professional.
That's right. So let's run through what's coming up on this episode, Cookie, if you'd like to start us off.
Yeah, definitely. We're going to be catching up with a review of Notts County.
We're going to hear from Neil Smith after that one.
We've got a review of Woking.
And we're going to catch up with Joe Kizzy for his thoughts on that game.
Matt, you're going to give us an update on the community.
And we're going to have a rather extended interview with Mark Hammond over a range of topics.
And also we're going to catch up with Tom Beaumont, the head of education.
For his podcast debut, if I'm not wrong. And part of that is also the FA Youth Cup, hugely exciting times involving that. We're also going to hear from Ben May. Cookie, you caught up with him. And finally, we're going to look ahead to
Yeovil.
We are, yeah, Yeovil Town tomorrow as we're sat here recording. So let's start off by discussing, obviously, the match against Notts County, Cookie, one of the biggest sides we've played here in recent years.
Yeah, I think obviously other clubs like your Wrexhams, your Leighton Orients, teams like that, there are teams that you go, wow, that is fantastic that we can play these sorts of teams. However, Notts County, they're the oldest league club in existence until the relegation last year, so it was fantastic that we was able to play them. But not only that, but to get a victory as well, Matt, it's unbelievable how well we do about against teams that have a successful past in football.
We don't let the occasion get the better of us, do we?
No, I think there was a time when we used to play your likes of Tramier and things like that. But to go up against Notts County and get a victory like we did, unbelievable. And it was a commanding victory, wasn't it? Not completely dominant, but to win 2-1 against them. And don't get me wrong, they're doing pretty well. They've made some good signings with Richard Brindley and Sean Shields. Incredible, Matt.
Yeah, it was. I mean, obviously, going ahead 2 minutes in was a great start for us, really, and it set the tone for the rest of the game.
You said before how good Alfie Doherty's been at having an impact. To get that goal when it's been played from the far side, it's been crossed in. I can't remember who missed the first touch, but then to be on that second and
cheek, wasn't
he's got time to take the ball, and he just takes it so well and composed and top of the roof of the net. Bang.
I think Cheek's done that deliberately. If you actually look at when Coulson's put the cross in, Cheek draws the two defenders towards the goal line, and Doughty's then in so much space, and you're right, it's a fantastic finish, and he's hit it right into the roof of the net, giving the goalkeeper no chance. But moving on from the first couple of minutes, obviously Notts County got an equaliser against the run of play on 35 minutes. A very good goal, we have to say. But do you think we were frustrated going in level at half time?
I'd say we would be, because I think we had the chance to get a couple more in the first half. But again, it's how we come out in the second half. It seems to be like this level of fitness, being able to just step up another gear after already being comfortable how we're already proceeding, and then just finding another gear, going up and going again, and getting that second. And what we was talking about previously in the office last week, funny enough, about who was the last person to score a goal on their debut, and I'm not talking about friendlies or anything like that.
The real deal.
Yeah, in the league. And I think that we come up with it was Sean. You're gonna leave it with me, man.
I can't remember.
What was his name?
I can't remember. That definitely wasn't me. I think you might have said that one. You might have pulled that one out.
No, it was Alex Walsh scored on his.
Sean Francis.
Sean Francis, yes. That's it, sorry. Longpool's there, cool. Sorry, Sean. And we're talking about that, and then funny enough, upsets McCloskey.
Yeah, and what a strike as well. I mean, he came on, he was on the pitch, just to put it into a bit of balance here. He was on the pitch for about 11 minutes, and obviously the cross has come in, it's come off a defender's leg. He's positioned himself on the edge of the box, and he's just let fly with this half volley from, like I say, the edge of the box, and the keeper's got no chance. What a strike, and what a way to win it. But the final few moments were a bit nervy, weren't they?
Yeah, they were, Matt, but you know what, we saw it out. It was a fantastic result, and another victory for Bromley. And obviously after the game you caught up with Neil Smith, and here's what you had to say.
Neil, a solid, fantastic, I can't think of the words to describe it, win against Notts County today in front of a great crowd.
Yeah, you know, you get off to a great start, you know, after 2 minutes, Alfie, great finish, great bit of movement, and then we had a couple of chances, but you know, you come in at half time looking at, well, we should have taken them, and then, you know, it's a different game. But, you know, obviously they get the goal coming at 1-1 all. But the second half, you know, I can't ask for any more. I've said to the boys, I'm saying it every week, and it seems repetitive, but they're giving me everything, you know. And then you bring on Sean, who come in yesterday to meet the boys, and what a way to win the game. You know, he's come in, he's not got a lot of game time. I want him to score goals, and come and does that for us on his debut.
As good as the equaliser was, you must have been a bit frustrated given that we were on top for the whole first half.
Yeah, the first half, you know, as I say, you go 1-0 up after 2 minutes, and you know, there were chances to, you know, put a real margin between us and Notts County. You know, they were always going to come back. I know Neil Hardley very well. He's a great coach, great manager, and they're going to have their moments. So you're frustrated on that, but, you know, we'll work on that Monday, but you know, we're going to enjoy tonight.
An inspired signing, an inspired substitution. Sean McCloskey couldn't have fit that any better, could he?
No, he couldn't have. You know, as I say, he's actually someone we've been looking at for the last 3 or 4 years. We've always missed out. He's gone to Bristol City, he's gone to Forest Green, you know, and we just keep an eye on him. Hamo and Danny Mills have known him and his family for a long time, so he's always been on the radar. And you know, when the opportunity came along, and it was a very late one on Thursday, it was a no-brainer for us. So you know, he's only a local boy as well, and what a fantastic debut for him.
Today's result puts us top of the league, sets it up nicely for a clash against Woking here again under the lights on Tuesday.
Yeah, again, I'd just like to say thank you to the supporters. The supporters were amazing today, turned out in their numbers, over 3,000. We're going to need that again Tuesday. You know, they play their part. They don't. I don't know whether they know how important they are to us, but they were amazing, because, you know, when Notts County were having their periods of possession and dominance, you know, they stuck behind us. So to score that winner, you know, 3,000 plus attendance, you know, we'd love that Tuesday as well.
Well, Neil, we'll let your voice have a rest now. Thank you very much.
Well, Matt, it was two games in 3 days as we then moved on to Woking, team third in the league, doing very well. And I think it's a bit disrespectful to say that they was batting above average on how well they was doing. Clearly, they're on merit, having such a fantastic start to the season, despite still being a part-time squad again. But nevertheless... First v third, Bromley went top on the Saturday, and then we played third place Woking, who dropped down after a draw. It was a difficult game going into it, and obviously one that Smudge, I think Neil would like to get a result against, as you would like to with your old team, wouldn't you, really? And Matt, another win, and a lot of people saying that it was one of the most convincing 1-0 wins they'd ever seen. I think Woking come out and said that they felt they could have got something, or should have got something out of that game. From what I saw, Matt, I didn't even see him in the game.
No, not at all. I think apart from the first minute where Cousins has had to come out quickly and make a good stop, I don't really remember Mark being called into action significantly after that throughout the rest of the game, and that was in the second minute. So I really don't see how Woking think they were the better side in the first or the second half, to be honest with you. We should have won that game about 4-0. Got a shout out the Woking goalkeeper Craig Ross. He was in fantastic form, and if it wasn't for him, I'm pretty sure we would have won by more. A fantastic save from Michael Cheek in the first half. Brilliant, even better save from Clifton in the second half as well.
I think we could have been about 3-0 up by the end of the first half, couldn't we, Matt?
Yeah, I think so. We just needed to turn our possession into slightly more dominance in the box, but it was a really good performance from back to front. Whatever Woking threw at us, we dealt with defensively. Obviously the goal, Michael Cheek, a bit of an odd goal really, and it's just typifies this squad really, the fact that he was there to anticipate a mishit shot and make the most of it and dive in there, you know, risk himself diving in with the keeper, and he got to the ball first and diverted it in, and that's just what he gives you, Michael Cheek. What a player we've got on our hands.
Well, definitely. Matt, you caught up with I think pretty much one of the best right backs we've ever had at the club, and I don't want to say that too early, but I think he's always already proven himself as an excellent addition to the squad. Matt, you caught up with Joe Kizzy after the Woking game, and here's what he had to say.
Joe, the win train just seems to keep going on. 13 games now unbeaten and a victory over third place Woking.
Yeah, great result for us. Obviously we knew what they were going to be about. They're a good side, they're up there for a reason. But you know, we've been obviously in training this week, working hard. We stuck to our shape, stuck to the game plan. Probably a bit disappointed that it wasn't more than just the one. I feel like we created the chances to kind of finish them off in the first half, maybe two or three. But you know, we'll take the 3 points. It's a massive 3 points, and it sees us go, I think, 4 points clear at the top now. So again, just on to the next one.
Despite not scoring more, did you feel we were in control of the game for large parts?
Yeah, I think their danger was obviously they had a couple of lads up top that could catch us on the counter. But I feel like in the second half we dealt with it a little bit better. Maybe caught us out a couple times in the first half, but you know, I'll always back us to kind of defend our goal in the second half and not letting in any kind of silly kind of efforts. And you know, with Mark behind us, I'm always confident that we can hold on to the win.
It's a great performance from the back four and a clean sheet. You must be really delighted.
Yeah, I mean, Gaffer mentioned it before the game. I think it's been maybe four or five games without a clean sheet, so it was important that we got one, especially against a team that are up there near us. It makes it all the sweeter.
And it's a statement, isn't it, as well, and in front of a great crowd for a Tuesday night.
Yeah, massive crowd. You know, obviously we had a little taste of it on Saturday. We had a big crowd here as well, and for the crowd to come out again and for fans to show their support to us again on a Tuesday night, a cold Tuesday night where it was raining, you know, props to them. They were amazing, and you know, they really are the top man.
And a trip to Yeovil on Saturday should be a good game. Another side in really good form.
Yeah, Yeovil obviously dropping down from the league above. They'll be strong. Probably similar to Notts County in the sense of their physicality and way that they've kind of caught form and maybe starred a little bit slower. So we won't take them for granted. We'll go there with the same attitude that we have done for the last 12 games, 13 games, and hopefully pick up the 3 points there as well.
Joe, great performance from you. Congratulations.
Matt, next up, you're going to talk us through an update in the community.
Yeah, so not a very long one this week, but I just want to shout out the youth section who came en masse to our youth day last week. It was an effort to coordinate that and put everything into place, but the response we got from the youth section was absolutely fantastic. We had 464 parents, coaches and children from the youth section come to the game on Saturday and enjoy the pre-match activities. We had training sessions on the pitch. The first team came out for a big photo. I think that's done the rounds on Twitter and that now, and had a meet and greet. And then obviously they were able to come in and watch the game. The parents and coaches got a discount as a little thank you for their dedication, and that got the crowd to over 3,000, which is a phenomenal achievement for us. And I want to thank all of them. Thanks Sue at the academy, thank Gail and all of the youth team, Jeff and James, for their help with coordinating it. It was a long old slog, but we got there, and I'm really proud of what we achieved.
Matt, it was an incredible effort, and I think with that the 400 odd parents that turned up and children, some might not have been to a Bromley game before, and they're actually seeing the professional setup that we've got now, the new stand, all the food and drink outlets that they could go to and get something to eat. It was something hopefully that the kids could sit there and say, I want to play for this club when I'm older. And out of them 400 children, there might be one or two that's going to come through that can go on to be an incredible talent. And hopefully they see the vision and they actually remember the time that they played for Bromley if they don't stick around. Matt obviously just talks through. This podcast is going out on Friday evening, but Saturday morning is soccer school.
It is soccer school, yeah. So every Saturday now, including the school holidays, we are here 9 till 12. If you'd like to bring your child down, they'll be coached by Bromley Football Club coaches who work either in our youth teams or academy. The first session is 9 o'clock, and that's for 4 to 6 year olds. 7 to 9 year olds are at 10 o'clock, and 10 plus year olds are at 11 o'clock. We've also got a dedicated girls soccer school thanks to the National League Trust and Max Properties for sponsoring that, and that's at 11 o'clock. And if you bring your daughter aged 10 or above to the girls session, it's first session free. And yeah, we average around 180 to 190 children every week, and we're looking to hit that 200 mark. And it's a fantastic achievement for us as a football club, and also to get these kids into our youth teams.
Brilliant. And your kid could look back on it one day and say it all started with turning up on a Saturday morning soccer school and playing at Bromley Football Club. And obviously you can sit comfortably when they're on £80,000 a week, and it all started from Bromley. So you can thank us in a few years
and get some commission
and give us some commission. Matt, next up we've got Mark's minutes from Mark Hammond.
Yeah, I think it's about Mark's 15 minutes this week as opposed to the 20 minutes last week, but it's always
so good to catch up with Mark.
He is. I mean, he always has a different story, doesn't he? I mean, he's told us some off mic, if you like, as well, that maybe can't be repeated, but are absolutely hilarious. And he's very experienced in a lot of different areas, from the teaching to the football and all sorts. And it was great to hear from Tom Beaumont as well.
He needs to write a book, I think, Mark. But like you said, we caught up with Mark Hammond. Also caught up with Head of Education for Bromley Academy, Tom Beaumont, and here's the interviews and here's what I had to say. Here on the podcast again, we're joined by Mark Hammond for Mark's Minutes and Tom Beaumont. You all right, Tom?
Glad to be here.
It's okay. Tom, your position at the football club is, for those that don't know?
I'm the Head of Education of the Academy.
There we go. And our kids go to the same primary school?
They do.
There we go.
Shout out to Heber Primary.
Shout out to Heber Primary. What story you got for us this week, Mark?
It was a great celebrated win against Woking, and another milestone for the club, especially with our unbeaten record and the way the first team squad are just, you know, grafting and working towards the end goal. But it was just great to see some of the old players from Bromley and some players that I've played with in the past, especially Steve Watson and Grant Watts, and they was up there. It was great to see them, and they were celebrating and recognising the club that they played for and where the club is now, and it was great to share the positivity with them and their comments. And then I spoke with Watsy, and he reminded me of a story when we played together. And I remember he played the ball in the channel, and I was running, and all of a sudden I pulled up and started to hold my back. So Watsy was going, ammo, any chance, like. So I looked round at him and went, what's he like? Oh, mate, I've got no chance. Like, my back is killing me. So he was like, Dad, don't be lazy. Just keep working. I'll keep working. Yeah. So I was like, no, I've got no chance. And so I was feeling my back really bad, really bad. So I thought, you know what? I'll find a little pocket of space and just work. I didn't want to come off. It was one of those games we were on top, and I felt that, you could get the ball and affect it in some way. So I kept looking for it in little pockets, but he kept telling me to stay out wide because of that's where we was going to, potentially get through. So he's played me this ball short. So as I've gone for it, my back's pulled again, and I kind of limp towards it, and then the guy won the ball, but it made Watsy look bad. So now he's fuming and he's going, ammo, what are you doing? You lazy. Oi, any chance? I'm looking at you. I'm giving you the ball. You don't. Are you. Any chance you. And, expletive. Anyway, half time comes. We're all in there. He just pulls me in front of everybody and goes, and Grant Watts and everybody, ammo, like, what's going on? And I went, look, I don't know what's happening, but I feel good. I feel all right again. I'll be all right. It's just my lower back's killing me. Anyway, there was about 10 minutes. It happened again. And I looked over and thought, right, I'm definitely coming off. 100% I'm off. He's played me this ball, I've gone through, and I'm through. And I've pulled up again, but I've shot and it's gone over. And I've literally, everyone is going, "Am I, what the, oh, for crying out loud." But that's the polite version. "Jesus Christ, ammo." And he's screaming and barking at me. Like, he's on me. Like, it's like I'm having nightmares of Steve Watson just killing me. I've bought myself some time and some breathing space with, there was a throwing in pitch. I've had a touch and I've bent it in the top left-hand corner. And it's like, oh my God. Like, it was this, you know, celebrating. And he's come over, but he's pulled my hair back and gone, "Listen, you little... I'm telling you now, if you don't liven up, I'm going to break your back." So I'm like, right, yeah, what's he... No, what, no problem, no problem. Anyway, he's played... Another ball's gone through. I've gone to go off the shoulder and come inside. And I've gone down, and he's now screaming at me, going, and I've gone on the floor. I don't know, I've put my hand up, I'm holding, I'm rolling over. He has run over, leant over me, and gone, "Listen, you little, if you don't get up, I promise you, I'm going to drag you up. What are you doing? It's 1-1, we've got a chance of winning this." I've just, what's he? "Mate, I've got to come off. It's like, I've got to come off." "No, you ain't coming off. You stay on the pitch. You finish the job." "Oh, Watson, you're killing me. Please, please, please." It's gone through again, and I've gone down as if, honestly, I went down as if I've been shot. Bang. Ah! He's coming after me. Physio's come on. I've got my arm around him. I'm being walked off. The end of the game, I'm really, really feeling now, and I'm feeling like it's like I've been, like, sort of, not that I've been stabbed, but it felt like I've been stabbed in the back. Cut a long story short, he's texting me in the morning, you know, "What the hell was going on? You were useless." So I replied, "Great banter. I'm in Queen Mary's Hospital. I've got a kidney stone."
Okay, with dedication. That was...
So look, I saw Watsy the other night, and it was great to see him. And he, you know, he's an experienced, you know, ex-professional and player. And it's great to see Grant Watts and all the ex-players that played for Bromley and a, you know, they're ambassadors for the club, really. And it's just amazing to how how they were complimentary and sort of joining the journey with us, and it was great. It was great to see him.
Brilliant. Joined by Tom Beaumont. Tom, the head of education at Bromley Football Club Academy, responsible for the academy boys and girls, ranging from Ravensbourne to Bromley College.
Yeah, we've got a. We collect over 200 students now, over two campuses, one at Ravensbourne and the other at the London South East Colleges at Bromley College on Bromley Common.
How do you keep them all in check? There's a lot of them about.
Yeah, we've got a lot of guys, but we're very lucky that we've got the carrot of football. So they're all here because they want some involvement in football, and regardless of whether they're a most able footballer or someone that just enjoys football, they all want to play on a Wednesday. So that's a fantastic carrot that keeps them in check, whether it be handling assignments or just how they conduct themselves around the football club and around their education campus. But yeah, that's pretty much the easiest way to keep them in check, is if you're not doing it right, then you don't get to put your boots on.
And for those people that don't know you, Tom, you've been here for a while at Bromley Football Club now. Just tell us your responsibilities. Not your responsibilities. Tell us about your background and how you come about, obviously, previous experience and then coming to work for Bromley.
So, yeah, I've since qualifying as a PE teacher, I've always worked in BR2. I was at Ravenswood down the road for 8 years as part of the PE department there, and predominantly as a rugby specialist. But I then got introduced to a man called Mark Hammond, who came to work at Ravenswood as the head of football. And I was blessed that I got given a football team that also happened to be very talented. and I realised that I had to learn a lot about football quickly to keep those youngsters entertained. So I attached myself to Mark, learned a lot from him, and that group went on to win a national cup for the school. So out of 707 schools that entered that competition, we won a play in the final at Reading, and then I kind of continued to work with those guys, develop and deepen my knowledge of football. And one of those students is current first team player Spencer Cripps. So I've kind of risen with him. I then joined Mark in the rebranding of the academy, came over as head of education when we started out at the Warren with 60 students. Now we've grown. We're watching 11 teams play on Wednesdays now, which is a, you know, fantastic indictment of our hard work, but just the growth of the club as a whole.
And what's the rest of this season and near future plans got for yourself?
Well, I'd imagine that if the club keeps growing, then the academy keeps growing, both in size but also in quality. We're looking at improving every aspect, so whether it be our academic output, but also the quality we offer, also the breadth of the education now that we offer. We've got four different courses that we run just to try and offer each individual student a bespoke education that best suits them and allows them to achieve the best grades that they can. So it might not be that if you're not set up to achieve at A level, then we have different BTEC courses, and not just one but two, not just level three but level two. So realistically, no matter what your academic level of prowess, you can come and join Bromley Football Academy and further your education and have something to put on your CV, as well as a fantastic 2 to 3 years of football.
It's fantastic. It's something I know I would have dreamed of when I was leaving high school.
Mark, the FA Youth Cup is looming here at Bromley Football Club. We welcome Corinthian to Hayes Lane on Tuesday, the 1st of October. Excited about it?
Very excited. Hopefully we'll see a lot of support, but the squad have been working hard. Once we knew, once we found out that we were playing Corinthian, Danny Mills and the under-18s coach Jamal went to watch them. So they've done a kind of analysis scouting report on them, and the squad have been preparing yesterday and today, and they'll have one more session on Monday in preparation for the game on Tuesday. So yeah, fingers crossed. I feel good and confident. Hopefully we can secure a victory, and this year, fingers crossed, with the energy and the connection of the 23s in the first team, we can have a positive run.
And how does it work with the squad in terms of the FA Youth Cup? Is it predominantly under 23 players, or are there players from academy size that are picked as well?
It's the best from the 16 to 18s, and obviously Ollie Tanner is with the first team squad, so he's been training with the FA Youth Cup squad, so he's been with them yesterday, today. He'll be with the squad on Monday. And it's the best from the year 12 and year 13 squads.
And we're obviously going to be opening it up for supporters to come down and back the boys. Ticket prices are out. We're going to confirm the details on the website as well. What do you say to someone who maybe hasn't watched our under 23s or youth teams before?
Please come down and watch, the future, the players that have been within the system and the players that now pull on the Bromley shirt. And take pride in the badge and trying to implement all of the structures and the processes that the first team and the under 23s are going through.
Well, Mark, let's hope we can catch up with you again next week after a good victory for the team. Thank you.
Thank you, Matt.
Next up, Cookie, you had the pleasure of catching up with someone who doesn't always want to do interviews. They're not his favourite things to do, but he's such an integral part of what happens here, and he goes about his business quietly, an ex-player as well, and that was Ben May.
Yeah, speaking to him...
keeping you up.
Yeah, speaking to him early in the week, just I wanted an interview of him, but when I approached him about an interview, he seemed surprised that I wanted to grab some time, but I think a key part of Bromley Football Club this year is the fitness, and he's done incredible to get to do that, Ben May. And obviously where we've seen us as a team sort of like falter in games before, of the last 10 minutes we might burn out and then we concede a late goal, etc. Touch wood, it's been incredible this year that we just step up a gear, like we did with Notts County to find the second goal. and to keep ahead of Woking, against Woking. So it's brilliant to catch up with him, and also just to talk him through how he got into his fitness. It's quite an in-depth interview of about 6 minutes, and obviously just talking about the other businesses he has as well. And here's what he had to say, Matt.
On this section of the podcast, joined by Ben May. Ben, fitness is key, obviously, at the start of the season. So we know that you've obviously retired now from playing, unfortunately, and then you moved into the fitness role, Bromley. So just first of all, just for people who don't know, just how did that come about?
Well, obviously, I was getting a little bit older, getting aches and pains on a daily basis, and started looking at what I'd be doing after football and stuff like that. And I always had a sort of interest in the fitness side of it, and just through my own experiences, really picking up injuries where, when I look back now, I could have done more for myself and stuff like that. So I did my courses, and then slowly, as I say, as I started picking up injuries and I weren't playing as much as I wanted to be, I had obviously the big injury in my back. I started coming away from, firstly I come away from full-time football into semi-professional, where I've dropped down to sort of, that would have been the Conference South at the time, which was Dover Athletic, and then went on to play for Ebbsfleet and obviously Bromley. The whole time I was studying and doing my sort of S&C work, personal training work, just trying to get better at rehabilitation, prehabilitation, and just generally learning how to look after players. And obviously I had the football background as well, which the manager were obviously really happy with as well, so I could try and incorporate the two into one job. I think it was about the time that Steve Lovell moved on to Gillingham. Neil Smith kindly offered me a role of sort of being a bit of experience in the dugout and just helping the lads through, just whilst he got like another coach in place, and it just seemed to kick on from there, really. I started being a little bit hands on with the lads and trying to relay back to them my past experiences and things I would have done differently, and how I could benefit their game and stuff like that in a fitness sense. Coaching was never really like a massive goal of mine, to be honest. Never really interested me. I loved playing, don't get me wrong, I love playing and just getting out there on a Saturday and representing my club and stuff like that, but the coaching side of it never really interested me. It was the fitness that was my next best thing to play in. So it just took on from there. It was a little bit weird, to be honest, trying to boss around the players that I'd been playing with. So the transition of it was a little bit weird to start with. I was getting a little bit of stick, and I deserved it. But I went with it, and just as the role went on, and the manager kindly offered me sort of more hands-on options and hours and stuff like that. I grabbed it with both hands, and yeah, obviously I'm well pleased from the fitness side of it now. And selfishly, the fitness side of it and the keeping away from injuries, the whole medical team we got here and stuff like that. Something I'm really proud of. But at the end of the day, we've got good players, really really good players, really good squad. So it's nice to be working with good players. It's been a good combination, having good players on the pitch and then keeping them as fit as we can. So it's worked well.
You take it back to basics at the start of the season, you, Neil and the rest of the coaching staff, and get them running bleep tests, fitness, etc., to evaluate. It's been this season, I think, really, where I think a lot of fans have seen the change in fitness, where you've got players in the last 10 minutes where a lot of teams sort of like falter and start wearing away. We just stay the same, we'll come to life a bit more and just give it that extra sort of like bit of oomph. What's the secret to it? Especially this season.
I think we've got a real honest bunch who are always on our case about getting better, getting fitter, stronger. So that's a massive start, and makes my life a little bit easier. At the same time, we've got good players as well. It's just all tying in well. There's no right or wrong in this world, or this business, but we try and sit down at the start of the week and structure the week on how we feel they should be recovering. Like a Monday will be different to a Tuesday, and so on. And if there's a game, you structure it around a game, when they should be getting that high intensity training in, when they should be recovering. And then you've got different players that some have played 95 minutes on a Saturday, some have played no minutes, some players have sat in the stand, some players have come on for half an hour. Everyone's different, so it's hard because it's everyone's in a different fitness state. But on the whole, we try and look after everybody and know that if they do get on a Saturday, they're at the best of their sort of fitness levels. So yeah, it's we don't just turn up and just go with it. We, as I say, we try and structure everything and look at what's best for each individual. So I think something we've got right so far, and obviously the whole staffing, whole management team is we'll carry on trying to get better. We're all still improving, and myself definitely. But I'm loving it at the moment. Really, really enjoying my role here.
Fantastic. And last of all, just to go into it, you're a busy man. Not only at Bromley Football Club, you've got your own like personal training, and also you've got your own food business with one of your colleagues that you know outside of the club, Maywit Food. Just tell us a bit about that. I'll get a bit of plug in for you.
So yeah, perfect. I didn't even ask for this, David. I love this. So it was as you say, I'm a little bit. I built a business when I had to come away from football. Was like a personal training, stroke, strength conditioning, which is from your everyday gym goer to the odd elite athlete and stuff like that, where you're trying to sort of more performance based rather than guys just trying to lose weight and stuff like that, or build muscle. And it was just one of them things where naturally people were going to start talking about nutrition and their diets and stuff like that. So we started a meal prep company because myself and Dan, it's called Maywit Fit Food, which is obviously Ben May and Danny Whittaker, so it's Maywit Fit Food. That was all that was out there, to be honest, because there's a lot of meal prep companies, so we had to put our own sort of stamp on it. It's meal prep at the moment. There's basically two versions of every meal, which would be, for instance, like a high carb. So if the players order the food here, it'll be like a high carb meal for them because they're training high intensity every day and stuff like that. Whereas you get the guys that want to lose some weight, they will go for the lower carb version. So it's not so exciting, but it works for them, and it looks good from our behalf because everybody's hitting their goals. Especially, so you've got the lads here who are holding the food and playing well, so it only looks good for the food. It's working well for everybody, and then the guys in the gym as well, it works well for them because these guys who have personal training or one-to-one sessions with myself or Dan, these are busy at work every day, so they're getting like a healthy, nutritious meal without having to do the prepping and the cooking themselves. So it's a little bit lazy, but it's our only way. I'm just talking about Maywit now. Yeah.
We've got 8 minutes into it. About Maywit.
There you there go. Go. Food's amazing.
Mark Anthony approves of it as well.
Cheers, Mark. Pay you later, mate. I'm rambling on, but yeah, I'm biased. The food is very good. It's high in nutrition, high in sort of protein content and the right amount of carbs, fats for the individual again. Something I'm proud of, and it's sort of grown and grown. So it's getting a little bit of interest at the moment.
It's doing well, and the food does taste good, and obviously have it myself off you. And that's follow on Instagram, Maywit, at Maywit Food, isn't it?
It is. Instagram is Maywit, Maywit underscore. At Fit Food. No, hold on. Maywit Fit Food. Maywit underscore Fit Food, I believe.
There we go, guys. Ben, good to catch up with you, and it's good to get an insight into the fitness side of the football club. And thank you very much for taking the time to talk to us.
No problem at all. Cheers.
Okay, now back to footballing matters, and we're going to look ahead to the trip to Yeovil Town, a side that we played in our history many times, and Jerry actually played against them. I'm sure he's going to tell us that story sometime soon, so I'll leave that one for now. But they're a side that are in fantastic form, actually the form side in English football, with 6 wins on the bounce, 18 points from 18, and their recent form, they've seen them beat AFC Fylde 3-2, Solihull Moors 1-0, and their most recent victory, a 3-1 win away to Aldershot. Cookie, it's possibly going to be our toughest test of the season so far.
Yeah, look, I think every game we go into and we say that it's going to be a tough test. I think Dagenham and Redbridge was a tough test with the run they was on, Notts County, even Woking of where they are in the league, and Touchwood, look, we've beaten them all, albeit Dagenham, where we got a draw, but There's no reason, and I don't think any team, I don't think the team fears anyone at the moment. We've had a fantastic start. We're unbeaten. We're top of the league by 4 points. We're not fearing anyone. I think it's great that the team has still got that fantastic mentality, but they're all bonding. They're all still getting to know each other and doing so well. And every day, this team just seems to get better. Don't get me wrong, if we do go on to lose one day, it's going to then be how the team sort of rebuilds itself and gets back up to winning ways and how quickly they can turn it around. But I mean, for now, these are two informed signs in two informed sides at the moment. But we shouldn't go down fearing Yeovil, no way.
No, absolutely not. I think you're right, Cookin. And as much as they've been in fantastic form recently, they have lost 4 games this season, and they did have a bit of a shaky start, obviously. Lots of confusion and perhaps uncertainty over the takeover in the summer, and all the board of directors, the old board of directors, have now stepped down. But this is a side, Cookie, that were 5 years ago playing football in the Championship.
Yeah, look, they've got a team, they're a team with immense history, but then don't forget, what was it in the 80s, 90s? This was a team that was in the same league as Bromley before. It's not the first time we've played Yeovil. They was in the what was the league? The Southern League, what was it? The Isthmian?
Yeah.
The league, so it's not the first time we're playing.
And the Conference South as well, if I'm not wrong.
Yeah, I believe so. Answered on a postcode with that one. But we have played them before. They've done fantastic to get up to the levels, but every team at this level is here for a reason, and then it's how well you want to do or how well you can do with certain resources and stuff. Everyone comes out and they start saying about, oh, Bromley must have loads of money, Bromley had to do this, Bromley had to do that. It's not the case. Bromley are doing it purely on, we've made some fantastic signings, but everything's being done correctly, I think, with the board and everything with Neil, and he's got a budget to work to, which is realistic, which he's achieved. He's done fantastic, and I think that the teams that you get like Yeovil, we've played them before, we shouldn't fear them. We've made some fantastic additions to this squad this year, Matt, and we keep saying it and we always say it, but I don't see why we're gonna fear them despite not losing 6 or winning 6 on the spin.
Yeah, absolutely, Cookie. Echo those sentiments for sure. The man to watch out for, as I always do, I think Reece Murphy, who was at Chelmsford City last season, a very experienced player, ex-Dagenham Redbridge, has played in the Football League for years as well, Forest Green, all sorts. And he scored, I think, 30 goals last year for Chelmsford in all competitions or around that mark. And he's got, I think, 3 or 4 to his name already this season, including a stunning goal at Aldershot on Tuesday. So definitely one to watch out for. Looking forward to making the trip. Cookie, you're not with us for this one, but myself and Jeff will be bringing you live commentary from Huish Park. If you can join us, you're always in for a laugh and a joke, as well as some footballing, some pure footballing brilliant commentary.
Seeing how many home fans Jeff can wind up.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to be having to deal with. I'm going to be the barrier, sort of the safety barrier between Jeff and the home fans. But yes, obviously props to all of you that are making the trip down to Huish Park. I know Jamie Thomas has actually sold out the fans coach now. Massive shout out to him. Space is still available on the fans coach to Wrexham on the 2nd of November. So see Jamie in the club shop if you're interested, or drop him a message on Twitter at 666 Jamie Thomas. And I'm sure you might be able to see him at some of the away games as well, including the trip to Yeovil. Here on Ravens Weekly, as a lot of you will know, we always like to hear from someone inside the opposition camp. I don't actually think we've had an opposition supporter on so far this season, so it's now time to buck that trend. We're delighted to have got a piece from Sheridan Robbins, who's a Yeovil season ticket holder, to give us a lowdown on how her team have done so far this season. Just before you listen to this, I think she was standing in a wide open field as she recorded it, but in all seriousness, thank you to Sheridan for taking the time out to do this.
My name's Sheridan and I'm a season ticket holder at Yeovil Town Football Club. Very much looking forward to welcoming Bromley to Hewish Park on Saturday. It's going to be an excellent game, two very much informed sides, so it's going to be competitive, that is for sure. I'm sure you'll enjoy your first trip to Hewish Park in many years. Our ground is hopefully nicer than you're used to, and you should hopefully be under cover at the side, or you might want to have a goal if you want to create that kind of atmosphere. Hopefully you'll be able to bring a lot of fans, which we'd really love. It's nice to have a big crowd. If you don't already know, it's our first game under our new ownership, which has been a bone of contention for the past few years while we've been struggling. So I expect a lot of new fans to return. So I think we'll be expecting at least 3,000, if not 4, if we're lucky. So you'll certainly enjoy the atmosphere. There's a nice bar, Hewish Pint, very clever name there, which you can grab a drink before the game. So yeah, I'm sure you'll enjoy your trip. In terms of our form, it's been quite remarkable really, the last 6 wins. Minus a couple, they've been very comfortable. We've been scoring a lot of goals, we're not looking like we're conceding, and we just look really strong. We look like a big squad. We've had to make a few changes. This is our 5th goalkeeper of the season, but it hasn't seemed to rattle us. I think Darren Sala's got an incredible team spirit going, but also we seem to be playing football, and although that can be tough in the National League, we seem to be good enough to pass the ball around and grind down these tough defences that you find in the National League. Hopefully you'll really enjoy Hewish Park, because I hope to see that we haven't sulked, that we're relegated to the National League. Yes, we've been in the Football League for the past 16 years, but we don't feel like we don't deserve to be there. You know, we were relegated later than we should have been, to be honest. It was always that there were two worse teams than us in League Two for the past few years. So there's certainly no sulking from us, which I think is the mistake a lot of teams that get relegated make. And I think that's why our form has been so brilliant. And yeah, it was a tough start, you know. I think we'd only won a couple of games in the first sort of 7. So to get 6 wins on the bounce is quite incredible. I think no matter what league you're in, you can say that we got relegated and we should be doing well. But to get 6 wins in a row against anyone is quite a feat. So we're really, really pleased. And we're unbeaten at home, which is something that you guys will, I'm sure, know. But you're unbeaten in the league, so I know it's going to be a really, really tough game. But hopefully competitive. And I've seen a lot of Bromley fans, you know, say that a lot of people have been going on about how Yeovil have won 6 games in a row, but you guys are unbeaten. And believe me when I say Yeovil fans know that this is going to be tough. And you don't go 13 games unbeaten by accident. So we're really impressed with your form. And we certainly won't be taking it lightly. I am, of course, thinking that we'll hopefully beat you and be the first team to claim 3 points off you, but that is going to be tough, and it certainly will be a close game. However, we have got one of the best strikers, in my opinion, in the league, in Rhys Murphy. Losing him to injury is really why we struggled, I think, and having him back in the team, he can create a chance from nothing. You know, we are vulnerable at the back, so I think, you know, we have conceded, I think, 4 goals in the last 6 games, which doesn't seem like much, but they were all avoidable. Against Aldershot, we conceded from a corner, which is really disappointing. So you all certainly have your chances. But it's going to be a really interesting game, and I think all Yeovil fans are very, very excited. And you'll have a warm welcome from us. As I say, we're really relishing the non-league life, you know. It's not about thinking we should be in the Football League, because you have no divine right. And we finished bottom last year and we were absolutely appalling. But I think Darren Sell has done a fantastic job, and hopefully we'll continue to do that job. I think what will be key is who takes their chances.
We create a lot of chances in games. Despite the fact that our wins have been comfortable, we have actually created more chances and should have scored more goals than we have. So, you know, if we can put that ball in the back of the net early, I think it'll be a tough afternoon for you lot. But like I say, if we concede early, we're not used to going behind. So it's kind of an equal playing field. And I know Darren Sal won't take anything for granted. I think you're doing fantastically, and it'd be great to see us fighting for the top spot at the end of the season, and see where we both go. So I hope you really enjoy your trip to Huish Park, and hope the journey's not too bad. That A303 can be a bit of a nightmare, but yeah, good luck for the rest of the season after Saturday, of course.
So just to wrap things up, obviously FA Youth Cup as well, as Mark touched on, coming up here Tuesday the 1st of October, kickoff at 7:45. Adults £3 and under 16s £1. Get down and support the young Ravens.
The future of Bromley. Come down and support the future of Bromley.
Absolutely. So Cookie, how can everybody get in touch with us?
So you can get in contact on Twitter at Bromley FC using the hashtag Ravens Weekly. You can email podcast at bromleyfc.co.uk. You can get us on Facebook, facebook.com/BromleyFC. Instagram at Bromley FC. There's loads of ways of getting in contact with us, Matt.
That's it, and they're ever expanding, aren't they? Well, Cookie, thank you so much for joining me this afternoon.
It's been my pleasure. Thank you very much, guys, for listening, and glad to be back for a bit longer than I always am, really.
Well, it's been a pleasure, Cookie. Thank you all for listening, and we hope to catch you again soon. Town where I come from, in Bromley, in Bromley.